This series called Ghost Stories was born in a graveyard. It was born 2 years ago. It sort of started 2 years ago from today, when early in the morning I got a call that my grandpa had passed away, and today marks the two-year anniversary of that. And a little bit later it was during COVID, he passed away from complications due to COVID, and it was during a time when the pandemic was really at a height. So we were fortunately allowed to have a graveside service. A lot of people weren't even allowed that, but our family gathered together at the graveyard. We had masks on unless we were speaking, and we had this service together for my grandpa. And on the way, driving from Indianapolis to Catlin, Illinois for the graveside service, my head was not in a good place. I was dealing with all kinds of things emotionally, maybe spiritually, and I was trying to get my head together to go, and I was sort of officiating the graveside service, and it was more like a funeral since we couldn't do a funeral, and trying to wrap my head around it, get my heart and my head in the right place. And graciously, Jenny agreed to make that drive. So in about the hour and a half that we had, I had my earbuds in, and I was listening to music, again, just trying to look for something, because I just didn't feel good. I was broken. And there was a song that came in called Ghost. And it just struck the right chord with me, thinking about going into a graveyard on October, hearing about a ghost, and the ghost being the Holy Spirit. So that's where this was born out of, that time. So 2 years later, 2 years after my grandpa passed away and we had the graveyard service, here we are today doing this series called Ghost Stories. And we're going to start in Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Now, 6,000 miles away from this scene and 2,000 years later, we can read this story and it's not very scary, right? We look at it, it just seems like a story that's pretty distant from us, not that relatable, but it doesn't seem that scary. But imagine if you were there, right? If we were telling this story or if it were on screen, right? How would we, it was a dark and stormy night, or maybe we have some fog coming, rolling in the graveyard, and we see this guy with his crazed eyes, probably all kinds of markings around and cuts and scrapes. He's got chains, and he's got this look of insanity. So we don't exactly know how the disciples reacted when Jesus led him into a graveyard, but I'm guessing they were afraid. Right before Mark 5, at the end of Mark chapter 4, we see this story where Jesus calms the storm. Jesus had been sleeping in a boat. The disciples, who a lot of them were experienced fishermen and had been out in a squall a time or two, this squall was so furious, so terrible, that they were afraid. And when they woke Jesus up and said Jesus was sleeping, they said, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" So they were terrified in this storm. And oddly enough, Jesus wakes up and he says, "Peace be still." He calms the storm. And do you know how the disciples felt after Jesus calmed the storm? You'd think they would be calmed down, right? No, it said they were afraid. Like, who is this guy? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So they were already afraid by Jesus calming a storm. There was part of them that was afraid. So I don't even think that Mark needs to tell us that they were afraid. I think that's a fairly reasonable assumption when we see other places, how the disciples react to things. But here we are. Again, we're in a graveyard. And there's this guy, and he's possessed by demons. And he's terrifying. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I've never seen the movie The Exorcist. Never seen it. I've heard it's really scary. And I believe that it probably would be. No, some people are saying no. Some people are saying yes. yes. It sounds like a scary concept to me. I've never seen it, so I don't know a whole lot about it. But I imagine, because Think about just how terrifying that would be to encounter somebody who's possessed by demons. Again, that seems a little weird. Maybe the closest thing that I could say to compare to this is somebody who's mentally ill. Maybe somebody who's really like snapped. Now, I've been around some people like that, and I don't know if that was a demon or what, but I know I felt a little bit afraid. And here we have this guy. It says he's possessed by demons. He's got this insane look in his eye. He's bent on hurting. He can't be subdued by chains. And yet, here he is. I imagine that would be pretty terrifying. So we're going to kind of follow along in Mark 5 and 6 because I think it's full of horror stories in these two chapters. Now, just again, since we're 6,000 miles away and 2,000 years afterwards, it doesn't seem like it to us, but as we pick up on the themes, maybe we'll see that. So right after this, so Jesus heals this guy, and oddly enough, it's the townspeople there, again, are afraid of Jesus when they see this guy in his right mind. They're afraid of him. And then the next scene goes to this guy. It says he's the synagogue ruler. His name was Jairus. And he approaches Jesus. He's got a 12-year-old, or he's got a little girl, and she's on a sick bed. She's very sick. And he begs Jesus to come and heal his daughter. Well, on the way there, there's blood. Again, I'm kind of making a little horror, right? Blood, but it's a bloody story. There's a little gore here. But this woman had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She touches Jesus, and she's healed. And when he's looking, she gets a little afraid because they're looking for who touched him, but she's healed. And then, so we got the bleeding person. There's blood in it. There's graveyards. There's exorcisms. And then Jesus gets to the house of this little girl. And this happens in Mark 5, 35 through 36. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came out from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now, this part really bothers me. At this part, I just want to be careful, but this is, to me, the most terrible part in these two chapters. As this parent here heard words that were going to haunt him for the rest of his life, "Your daughter is dead." And part of the reason why I hate those words, is because I know some people in this room have heard those words. And I know how scarring, or similar words, we hear something like that, something so terrible, and it's just devastating. It's absolute horror, terror, devastating. But we're actually going to take a break from this, and we're going to come back to it later because we're going to cover a little bit more horror. The next horror scene is a beheading. Jesus's friend, John the Baptist, gets beheaded. And presumably it really affects Jesus because he knows he's the next one on the chopping block. He knows his is coming next. And he hears about this terrible, bloody, violent death that John suffered. And he knows he's next. They're coming for him next. And so he decides to take his disciples and get away. And they decide to go on a little bit of a retreat. I'm sorry, I'm seeing some stabbing signs and it's making me laugh here. they go on this retreat. And they plan on going on this retreat, and as they do, there's a crowd that comes and they find Jesus. And as they find Jesus, they beg him to stay. And Mark says a couple of times, when Jesus sees a crowd, he has compassion on the people. So Jesus is filled with this compassion, and as he is, he decides to stay. This is where he feeds the 5,000. Then after that, he sends his disciples out into a boat on the lake. He goes up on a mountain to be by himself and pray, probably processing the death of his cousin and forerunner and friend, John the Baptist, and trying to figure out his emotions, trying to get his head and heart and soul right. And then that leads us to him taking a walk across the lake. And we were at this place last week, and I said we'd come back, and so here we are. So Jesus walks on the lake. The disciples, it's been a rough night. The wind's blowing. We'll try to create some like movie scary effects. I don't know if that worked or not. But it's scary. Let's do the fog again, right? It's a foggy night on the dark and foggy night. Jesus is walking across the lake and they see him and they think it's a ghost and they're terrified. Here we have fear once again. They are absolutely terrified. So I said we'd come back to it, and here we are. Mark 6:49 through 50, but when they saw him walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. So to kind of, again, keep score here, so far in 5 and 6, we got a graveyard and exorcist. We've got some blood. We've got a beheading. We have a little girl who was sick and died and then raised to life again. And we have a ghost sighting. So here's where we come back. Mark 6:50, it finishes. Jesus, this is what Jesus, they think he's a ghost. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Just think about what Jesus has done so far in these little stories that have been told about him, these things that happen, these stories. He goes into a graveyard. He didn't run away from it. He went into it. And the reason why Jesus went into the graveyard was not to unleash demons or to do some sort of seance or whatever kind of ritual. It was to drive demons out. Jesus encountered bleeding, and the woman was bleeding not because he'd stabbed her like in a horror movie. She was bleeding, and he came to stop the bleeding, to heal her. There was a little girl. He went into just this terrible sight and of mourning, of weeping, of terror. And instead, he changed that horrible scene into a place where he said he's just going to wake her up. He undid. He reversed the horror. Everywhere he's going, he's walking into rough places, scary places, and he's undoing the fear. He's undoing the horror. He's reversing it. Now they think he's a ghost. And what does a ghost say when a ghost shows up? Boo, right? Boo. Of the myth, the ghost. If a little kid's drawing, and I think they're mostly in children's church today, but they could draw a little ghost and with the bubbles, and what would the ghost say? Boo, right? So when a ghost shows up, a ghost says boo to try to scare you. And Jesus, they think he's a ghost, and instead of saying boo, he's like, "Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right." For some reason, when I was about 9, our family went into a haunted house. And it was, I really wanted to go, but I had some younger siblings. And I remember going in there and seeing the sights of a haunted house. Latifah's shaking her head, like, "What were you?" But I remember my little brother being like 5 and being so afraid. And so every time we entered a new room with the strobe lights going, they would like start like taking their masks off and say, "Don't be afraid, it's not real. It's not real." We had gone in there and they were trying to undo it. They even saw we were so afraid that some of the actors came out after we left and said, "Hey, this was all fake. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right." They were trying to undo that fear. There's one time when my daughter Viola was really young, and she had a nightmare. And in the nightmare, she also had like this appearance of God or an angel, and this song that came to her, and it said, "Don't be afraid, God is near, he would protect you everywhere." And fortunately, back when we did this, I recorded the song. So, and I even listened to it this morning. "Don't be afraid. God is here. He would protect you everywhere." And I'll have to say, when I listen to my little daughter sing this song, there's something about it that makes me say, "Yes, I can listen to her." Right? Through the mouth of a small child, God speaks. "Don't be afraid." How similar is that to what Jesus says? "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is here. He would protect you everywhere." One thing that we know a few things about Jesus from the Gospels, but one thing that we know for certain is that Jesus cared about little girls. We know that, and I experienced that through my own daughter. thinking about little girls. Let's go back to that story again. Let's go back to that story. When I was reading it this week, and I hope this is really encouraging because it really encouraged me. But I was reading in my devotional time, and the version of the Bible, the translation was NIV from 1984. So the NIV has been revised. It's not on the Bible app, but if you have an old copy of NIV 1984, I love how it was stated here. And I think it brings out the part of the meaning that I hope that we're encouraged by today. So we're going to reread Mark 5, 35 through 36 through the 1984 NIV version. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said. I love that phrase. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, the dad, "Don't be afraid, just believe." I love that little phrase there, ignoring what they said. The voice of fear is loud. The voice of fear chases me down. I don't know about you, but voices of shame and fear, they can be so loud they can taunt us. And the voices of death, they can be just so loud and scary. But Jesus here, he ignored what they said. Now, in most instances, if you heard something horrible like that, it would be cruel or insensitive or just terrible to ignore that kind of movie. Or maybe you would say somebody's in denial. Last week we talked about the possibility that Jesus is a lunatic is one of the possibilities. Maybe a lunatic does this, like hears the news and just ignores it. But because it was Jesus and because of what he was about to do, it wasn't insensitive, it wasn't cruel, it wasn't insane. Because Jesus knew what was going to happen in just a few moments. So only Jesus told him what only God could say. Don't be afraid, just believe. Because only God raises the dead. As we think about that, and think about maybe some of the voices, there's a time and a place just to ignore what they said and not to be afraid and just believe. I've been thinking about the time that I have with God where I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me, and then I'll read a section and then try to really pay attention. What is it that seems to stand out? What do I think maybe God is trying to say to me through this passage? And this year there's been one phrase that stood out to me, and it's similar. But this one comes, it's just a phrase, and it comes from Philippians 1:28. It says this. Paul was telling the Philippians, "Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." It's October, a month of fear. And so just ghost stories get told this month, but ghost stories get told all months. Stories get told to try to make you feel afraid. There are voices. There's going to be people. There are going to be forces that try to scare you, to manipulate you, and try to get what they want from you. And as Paul also said somewhere else, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and authorities and principalities of this dark world. So we live in this world with light and darkness, and there's this valley of the shadow of death that we go through. And sometimes it can be really scary. But we don't have to be frightened in any way by those that oppose us. It's the forces of evil. That's death. Not to be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Jesus said, there's only one to fear. He said it like this in Luke 12, 4 through 5. "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him." The scriptures tell us, Jesus said fearing God is the only one to fear. The scriptures tell us that fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. And lest we think that fearing God means we're always afraid and we're insecure and we're afraid of hell and all that kind of stuff. Without thinking that, listen to the other things that the scriptures say. The God that we are to fear says in those scriptures 365 times, one for every day of the week. Do not be afraid. 365 times in the God-breathed word, do not be afraid. If we fear God, we don't have to be frightened in any way by those who oppose us. Yeah, fears are hard. Yeah, we do have to live with fear, but God can deliver us from all our fears. What is it that we really want to be delivered from? A lot of time it's just fear. And because he lives, all fear is gone. We can put that in his hands. What kind of spirit? The spirits of Halloween oftentimes are there to haunt or to cause fear. But this is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7 about the spirit that God gives. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Jesus went into scary situations and overcame. He overcame the fear. He overcame the death. He overcame what Satan had intended for evil. Jesus used. God intended it. God used it for good. So this morning is a simple invitation like usual. It's to follow Jesus, to be his disciple. It's to try to trust him with our fears. It's to experience, again, Jesus. And follow Jesus and invite that same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead to live in our bodies, to give life to us. So if that's you this morning, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer. This is from the Scriptures. It's acknowledging what the Scriptures tells us about Christ and the hope that we have of eternal and abundant life. God, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I ask you to fill me with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to help me follow Christ and experience the abundant and eternal life he spoke of. Amen. Ghost stories. Again, I mentioned earlier that this series came out of a cemetery, a graveyard, a place of mourning, a place of sorrow. And we had a ghost encounter in that cemetery. Now we could do thing, we could make it spooky and all that, but we didn't see any ghosts appear, but there was a presence in that cemetery. And the presence didn't scare us, did the opposite. It comforted us. The spirit that was there in that graveyard with us was a spirit that was real. And even though we mourned, that spirit, that presence gave us hope. The presence of the ghost, the Holy Ghost in that cemetery offers comfort, hope from the God who turns death into life, turns mourning to dancing. The God who takes fear and replaces it, turns that into love, the perfect love that drives out all fear. A God that takes mourning and creates dancing. A God who turns graves into gardens. That's the hope that we have in Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen, holy is your name. As people here on planet Earth, we live in a place, we live in the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes it gets real scary. And God, we're asking for your comfort. We need your help, Lord. We ask for your perfect love that drives out all fear. We pray for your kingdom to come and bring healing and hope. We pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day, we ask for what we need, the daily bread. Maybe it's just enough faith to take that next step, just to get out of bed, just to breathe and exist, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, we ask today that you provide for what we need. And we need your presence with us to comfort us, to deliver us from fear and from evil and from all that comes against us, Lord. Help us. Lead us not into temptation, but to paths of righteousness and life for your name's sake. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, help us to fear no evil, because you are with us, comforting us, giving us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen.